I'm running, running through the jungle, running like a slave through the underground tunnel. Told y'all niggas better get these bitches, cause I spit till my lips need 16 stitches, I am lyrical intrusion, you bitches can't see me like I'm really an illusion. I hop up on your face and do my motherfucking tooth death till I knock the meat out like a motherfucking toothpick. I'm nasty, nigga.
Welcome to Beanball Podcast, episode 11. I am your host, Jason Wojciechowski, coming from Beanball Studios in Los Angeles as usual. It is the wee hours between Thursday, June 28th and Friday, June 29th, 2012. I have just finished watching the A's lose a disappointing 7-6 game to the Rangers in Texas. Disappointing because whenever Scott Feldman is the opposing starting pitcher, you kind of feel like your team should get a win out of that game. But the problem for the A's was that Scott Feldman was not the only tall, shitty right-handed pitcher in this game. The A's had their own tall, shitty right-handed pitcher going, Tyson Ross, and Ross was exactly what you expect, leaving pitches in the middle of the zone. And the real reason, I guess, not the real reason, but the other reason this game is disappointing is because they had chances to win. They had a chance to keep the lead early in the game when Tyson Ross was removed and the A's still had a lead. Bob Melvin handed the game over to Jim Miller with Josh Hamilton coming to the plate and runners in scoring position. You know, Jim Miller, first of all, is right-handed. Even if he's good, you bring him in to face Josh Hamilton. That doesn't sound great. And second of all, Jim Miller's not very good at pitching. Yeah, he's got a 3.78 FIP this year. His ERA was under two. It's probably a little higher now. He's been in the minors for most of his career for a really good reason, and that's that his pitches aren't that good. And he pitched around, he just couldn't throw strikes. He walked, he gave up, and he just gave up runs, and he leaves. By the time he's gone, the Rangers have the lead, and the A's never manage to take it back. They threaten again in the ninth, also frustrating, because they get the tying run to second with one out and Cespedes at the plate. That run goes to third because Cespedes bloops a single to right field. Josh Reddick, who's that runner on second, doesn't read the hit off the bat as well as maybe sometimes he might. It was just kind of a thing where he didn't quite tell that it was going to be a hit, and he ends up only able to stop at third rather than scoring. And it's, you know, if there were two outs already and he's going on contact, then he scores. And if he reads it right away, then he scores. But he wasn't sure if it was going to be caught or if it was going to fall, so he just couldn't make it. And so you end up then with lesser hitters coming up after Cespedes. You get Seth Smith, who is a decent matchup, Seth Smith against Joe Nathan, the right-handed pitcher, but Smith swung at a pitch that hit him in the foot to start things off, not the first pitch, but early in the at-bat, and then he winds up striking out on a slider in the dirt, that sort of Joe Nathan hard slider. So it wasn't a good at-bat for Seth Smith overall. And then Brandon Inge just sort of does what Brandon Inge does and grounds out to short to end the game. You know, the A's had that tying run on second and Cespedes at the plate and Cespedes got a hit. Sometimes that's just how it breaks. I do want to note that I'm not, Tyson Ross, he's bad. Jim Miller, he's not that good. I don't really blame them because this is what they are. They didn't pitch poorly. They're just not great pitchers. So there's a difference between those two things. And the difference is that Bob Melvin doesn't seem to know what he's doing. I don't know why Melvin brought in Jim Miller. I mean, I guess the reason Melvin brought in Jim Miller is because Jim Miller is who was ready in the bullpen. But I'm confused about how you look forward on the lineup card of the Rangers, see Josh Hamilton there, realize that if Tyson Ross gets in trouble, he could have Hamilton coming up, and not have someone like Sean Doolittle ready to pitch. You know, Doolittle's a good enough pitcher that you could bring him in with righties coming up. Jim Miller, I don't think, is a good enough pitcher where you want to bring him in with a lefty coming up. So, I think this is hard to justify. Not to focus completely on the bad, I guess we can talk about a couple of good things that happened. Coco Crisp actually had multiple hits, a multi-hit game. That's a rare thing for Coco Crisp, whose batting average is in the low 200s. Not that, you know, batting average, the first and last time you'll hear me cite that, but, you know, it's a measure of hits, right? So that's Coco Crisp. He did steal a base. He also had a great double play in, I think, the seventh inning on a sort of bloopy fly ball to center, and he comes charging in, goes into sort of a butt slide, and reaches out. He actually almost missed the ball, but he reached out and grabbed it. It was kind of fading away like a changeup, it looked like, and he reached out and grabbed it, and while he's still sliding on his butt, he actually makes a sort of Coco Crisp loopy throw to second. Jamile Weeks makes a great stretch, and Nelson Cruz is just a quarter of a second late in getting back, and I don't know what Nelson Cruz is thinking. I mean, you have to go as far as you can go and still get back if the ball is caught. You can't go halfway if it's a tiny little bloop ball where the center fielder is going to catch it, you know, 50 feet from second rather than 150 feet from second. So it was a poor play by Nelson Cruz, but a really good job by Coco Crisp to take advantage. The other, and Coco Crisp's, buddy to his left, Josh Reddick, he had a home run in the first inning that was on a low and in pitch, which is, you know, people say, oh, that's the left-hander's pitch. I don't see why left-handed pitchers throwing that pitch to right-handed batters doesn't work out the same way, but whatever, it's the left-hander's pitch, and he just yanked it out into the second deck in right field for an early home run, which is really nice. He also had a great defensive, well, not even a great defensive play, but a good defensive play in right field. There was a blooper hit in front of him. He didn't catch it, but he picked it up, made a clean pickup, and throw to third on Michael Young, trying to go to third on, I think it was actually Nelson Cruz. On Nelson Cruz, a single, and he throws to third, and Young is trying to get there. And I have no idea here, like Nelson Cruz's double play, why Young is trying to get to third base on this. Reddick couldn't have been, I don't know, more than 30 feet from the infield, so how far is that throw to third? He's going to nail you because Young was close enough to the bag to get back in case Reddick caught it. Unlike Cruz on the double play, he didn't go halfway. That was a nice play by Reddick. It was a nice throw, sort of a classic, you know, Reddick full overhand line drive throw to third base, and in, you know, nice little one hop to Inge, and he puts the tag on, and it's an easy out. So that was nice to see. But that's really all the time I can spend on the game because, again, it's one of the more frustrating losses recently because of the chances that the A's had to actually win this one. The TV Minute, Supernatural. I watched an episode of Supernatural tonight. It was the third episode of the first season. It involves a ghost who wants to take vengeance via water, essentially. You know, he has the ability to control water, and he kind of comes in through the water, and he drowns people. And at one point, he comes in through somebody's kitchen sink and drowns a guy. And, you know, like I said, I watch TV while I'm washing dishes. So I'm watching this with my hands in the sink, you know, spraying water on a plate or something. I'm not really one to watch, to get terrifically scared about TV and movies, but that was a little frightening. So I sort of finished up as quickly as I could during that episode. Speaking of finishing up as quickly as I could, this has been another episode of the Beanball Podcast, episode 11. I have been Jason Wojciechowski. You can reach me in all the usual places, Twitter, Facebook, email, jasonw@beanball.org. And again, send me questions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and I will talk to you again soon. Like I'm fucking Chris Dokes or that raspy nigga, or the skin on the feet of a ashy nigga. I am whatever they say I am, bumping like the asses on them thick bitches at stadium. Fuck them other bitches, I sound better in the place of them. I killed this shit, this the motherfucking Raytheon. Sick bitch, chicken noodle soup phase, clothes from overseas like a motherfucking crusade. Truck rocking, you can hit it till your nose hurt. Rooftop, Brooklyn, made this shit in covert. I run New York. I run New York. I am zero past 100, spitting like a dragon that we're missing from a dungeon. Y'all a bunch of niggas getting trippy off of nothing. Tie a rope around your neck and let me kick you off a bungee. I'm saying, and I'm.